give you the glory tonight. We bless your name, Jesus. We just want to say we love you with all our heart.
May be seated. To our worship leader today who has led us thus far, we certainly give God praise for him, Deacon Poole, and to all of you who have gathered in the House of Faith, members and friends of this Shiloh Baptist Church, and we're certainly grateful. This has been a great day of celebration. I want to acknowledge this pastor and people all the way from Los Angeles, California. Stand up, Pastor. It's so good to see you again. The folks that are in the house, all the y'all stand up. Come on, let's give God praise. They come every year, just to be with Pastor Armstrong, and it's a privilege to be included in this great celebration. To all these great leaders, y'all looking good. We were so greeted so well when we pulled up. I told some of the folk they're going to make me join Shiloh. Amen. And it took a little long for the elevator to get where it was going. And one sister, she jumped on and she said, well, since you joined in Shiloh, you can wait on the elevator like we can. And so we just hung out there for a little while the elevator came. And it was all good. It was all good. I tell you, I travel a lot, I preach a lot of places, but I can say, Pastor Armstrong, sincerely, that there's hardly any church that makes me feel the way y'all feel, make me feel when I come up here to Trenton, New Jersey, to the Shiloh family. Amen. I thank God for the way you treated us and how you fed us and just always so kind and hospitable. I shared with somebody, I said, whether we come on a Sunday afternoon or a weeknight, when we pull up, the cars are lined up down the street waiting to receive us, and certainly we appreciate that so much. Reverend Ivy Bryant, you're way in the back, and I don't know if you're in the back because there were no seats for you up here with the rest of the preachers, but I want folks to know that you're one of our preachers, and I see the preachers up here, so if there's some room on the preacher's row or a preacher's section, y'all make some room for Reverend Ivy Bryant, because I'm so grateful for all of my preachers who are here, all the people who came from Englewood, New Jersey. I want to thank God for you. If you just wave your hand, because I appreciate you getting on the road and coming down and being with us. A couple years ago when we were here, Shiloh, Pastor Armstrong talked about this the vision that you had. What you call the vision? Vision 2020, and just taking this whole area and turning it around and doing something with it so it can be a blessing to the community at large. And that day I was touched by that and made a commitment to support that vision and made a commitment to support it with about $10,000. Now, it's been a couple years, but you know, money is never late. And so today, this is the first quarter of the year, so we bought a quarter payment on that $10,000. So I brought a check. We got a check with us for $2,500 to begin our contribution. This is from the Community Baptist Church to the Shiloh family. Next quarter, you're going to get another $2,500. Next quarter, you'll get another $2,500. By the end of this year, you will have your $10,000 from Community Baptist Church of Englewood. Is that all right, y'all? Come on, let's give God glory. Because when you do well, we all do well. I've been through the fire, been through the flood, yes, broken in pieces, think about it, left all alone, but through it all, God blessed me, through it all, God kept me, and I still have a praise inside of me. Do I have a witness in the house? Yes, I still have a praise inside of me. I wonder, is that anybody's testimony this afternoon? Come on, say it with us. I've been through the fire. I've been through the fire. Been through the flood. Been through the flood. Broken in pieces. Broken in pieces. Left all alone. Yes. But tell somebody, but through it all. But through it all, God blessed me. Through it all, God kept me. And I still have a praise inside of me. Oh, yes, I do.
Yes, I still
have a praise inside of me. Oh, there's a praise in my spirit. Hey, a praise down in my soul. A glory, hallelujah, yes, that cannot be controlled. And I still have a praise inside of me. Oh, yes, I do.
Yes, I still
have a praise inside of me. Anybody ever been through a storm? Anybody ever been broken? Come on, let's testify. Help us.
Although I've been broken.
Tell somebody, and I've been scarred.
And I've been scarred.
Yes. I never gave up.
I never gave up.
What did you do? I trusted in God. And what happened as a result of that? Through it all, God blessed me. Through it all, oh, God kept me. And I still have a praise inside
of
me. Oh, oh, yes, I do.
Yes, I still
yes.
have a praise inside
of me. Oh, yes, there's a praise. Hey,
in my spirit.
A praise way down
in my soul.
A glory, hallelujah,
hallelujah.
That cannot be.
Controlled.
Yeah.
And I
still have a praise inside of me. Oh, yes, I do.
Yes, I still
have a praise. Inside of me. Oh, oh yes I do. And I still have a praise inside
of me.
Yes I do. Yes I do. And I still have a praise inside. Hey, yes I do. Yes I do. And I still have a praise inside of me. Amen. That was one of the most amazing praise dances I've ever witnessed. I started to get in that line myself. Now, when someone does whatever they do well, it ought to beg participation. And it ought to make you want to join them and be a part of it. And I tell you, I wanted to get up here and I probably couldn't move like they were moving, but I tell you what, they delivered that message through the ministry of dance, and we ought to celebrate the praise, the anointed dance, whatever. They are anointed, and they delivered, and we were blessed by it. To Pastor Armstrong, your wife Melanie, to these children who don't want to be here this afternoon. That's about to tell the truth. They, you know, all this stuff, it may be grand for us, but it don't mean nothing to them. They just want to know when we're going to be finished. But I do honor the pastor and his family today, and we congratulate both pastor and people for 17 years of ministry together. What a tremendous... To the Honorable Bonnie Watson Coleman, and grateful to see you here today, and all of you this afternoon. God gave us favor, allowed us to dodge the storm again, held back the snow so that we could have another beautiful day to travel, and I'm on my cell phone because my daughter is flying back to Lynchburg, Virginia today by herself. She's going back to school off of spring break, so I woke up this morning and told the Lord gave you a beautiful day for traveling. And she made it leg one. She made it to Charlotte all right. And so now she's in the air and probably soon will be landing in Lynchburg. So thank God for traveling mercies. And I'm grateful for all of our leaders in our choir and music ministry sharing. And I pray that what I have to say today will be a blessing and an encouragement to you, the great people of Shiloh, and the work that you are doing, continuing to do. This pastor, pastoring one people for so long is a gift. It's a blessing. In the Baptist tradition, we have the gift of longevity if the combination works. And I'm thankful that the combination is working. And really, we come to, there's nothing much we can say that you have not heard, but we do come to say we are godly proud of the Shiloh Church family, and we're godly proud of this young man. He serves as our general secretary now of the General Baptist State Convention. And through him and others who joined our team, God has given us a great team to do some great things. Certainly, I believe that when God gives you an opportunity, he gives you a privilege and a platform to make change, positive change. So I pray God for his support. I trust him. I lean on him. And I want you to know, Shiloh, that you are a part of that trust. And we're grateful for you and what you do for us. Now, the fourth Sunday in September, I don't know what the date is. I don't know what's on your calendar. But whatever's on it, clear the way. Because on fourth Sunday in September, Community Baptist celebrates 85 years of ministry. And I would love to have Pastor Darrell Armstrong and the Shiloh family to come to Inglewood. Amen. To celebrate with us. So y'all look it over. Look it over, and we owe you a few meals. We'll have dinner ready for you when you get there, and we'll lay out, and we'll roll out the red carpet for you. Literally. We have a red carpet that we put out for our guests. Hey, I'm telling the truth. And when you get there, you will be greeted by our greeters, and you will walk the red carpet. And we will feed you with some up south cooking. Up south. You know, we might be in the city, but we're still from the south. And I hope that can happen, to come up and just experience this fellowship with you. Thank you for bringing your people down in October to the session, and just to get a glimpse of Community Baptist Church. And I hope that you'll join us. Ezekiel 37, verses 1 through 4 says these words, "And the hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of a valley which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." A New Living Translation reads like this: "The Lord took hold of me, and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with bones. He led me all around among the bones that covered the valley floor. They were scattered everywhere across the ground and were completely dried out. Then he asked me, Son of man, can these bones become living people again? O sovereign Lord, I replied, you alone know the answer to that. Then he said to me, speak a prophetic message to these bones and say, dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord." This is the word of the Lord for today. I want to talk from the thought, a prophetic word in a pathetic world. A prophetic word in a pathetic world. I don't pretend to be an expert in many areas of life. I'm not an expert in political matters, neither am I an expert on all the ills of society. However, I am an observer, and for the last 24 years of my pastoral ministry, I've been trying to assess and to evaluate the role of the Christian church in the midst of a tumultuous and turbulent society such as ours. I've also been trying to understand exactly what my role is as a pastor, the local congregation, and what it is I am to do in the community at large. I wonder what impression the citizens of my town have of me. Am I just a drive-in, drive-by, drive-through preacher? Or am I a staple in my community? Am I pastoral in that I simply care for the flock I particularly lead locally? Or am I priestly in that I limit my scope of intercession only to those who call me pastor? Or am I prophetic in the sense that I'm only speaking those positive and prosperous things over the same people week after week? And as a result, I profit from my own prophetic utterances because I have convinced them that their financial breakthroughs will come only if they sow into my ministry. I ask these questions because as an observer, it appears to me that the church in general has lost its identity and focus. We have sought to be a club for the heaven bound. We are comfortable with our ways of doing things, and we feel somewhat empowered because of our little titles and positions. And that's all good and great. Things are happening because of who we are and what we want to do. However, there's a strange awareness that as time goes by, I see the church, but I don't hear the church. People see us gathering, but they can't hear us. And the reason why they can't hear us is that somewhere between poverty and privilege, we've lost our voice. Somewhere between the plantation and the White House, we've lost our voice. Somewhere between the March on Washington and the stroll down Wall Street, we've lost our voice. Oh, we used to have a voice. Our voice was strong and penetrating, convicting and convincing. Our voice informed the world of racial injustice. Our voice organized historical black colleges in church basements. Our voice unified as we sang, "We shall overcome until the back of segregation was broken. Our voices cried in the midnight when our heroes were cut down by the brutality of systemic oppression. But our voices declared unto a nation filled with hate and violence, I ain't gonna let nobody turn me around. And not only did the black church have a voice, but the black preacher had a voice. The black preacher was prophetic. It challenged the status quo. The black preacher called into consciousness the injustices of our experience. Black preaching taught us how to bob and weave so that we could survive, how to trust in the Lord when times got rough, how to face our difficulties knowing that he promised never to leave us alone. The preachers were truly prophetic, not in the sense of always talking about what was yet to come, but prophetic in the sense of understanding the biblical role of the prophet to the point where they were not afraid to speak truth to power. The black pulpit was and still is a powerful place. But something has happened over the years. Yes, we have made it to the White House, and yes, we are seated in Senate and Congress, and yes, we are poised and positioned throughout the tiers of government. Our people are more prominent in places now than ever before. Our churches are mega churches. Our ministries are televised. Our fame is national and world known. But it seems like we no longer have a voice. No one is really seeking the opinion of the black church anymore. We're not speaking to the issues that shape governmental policies and procedures. No one is inviting us to sit down at the table of decision making and engage in a process of serious debate. And nobody is really taking our voice seriously anymore. And what's worse is that it seems like we have nothing to say. Our society is pathetic in so many ways, and while we are experts at criticism, as we are told a few times, we have yet to speak and to make a declaration or to offer a theological perspective or to engage in a social analysis in order that we might be able to heal the brokenhearted, give sight to the blind, set at liberty them who are captives, and lift up those who are oppressed and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. We allow patheticism, that's my word, to continue because we've lost our voice and we say nothing. They have redefined marriage and we said nothing. They have challenged our preaching and teaching and questioned our motives behind the sermons we preach and we say nothing. Our families are crumbling and we have nothing to say. Our economy is crazy and the government has already bailed out Wall Street, and now it seems like they're trying to take back what belongs to common man, and we have not much to say. But in times like these, we need a prophetic voice in a pathetic world. We need a voice because families are messed up. We need a voice because our government is plagued with corruption. Oh, y'all, we need a voice because we got a new president. Our country is filled with hatred and racial tension and political fallout. We need a voice because this world is pathetic. When depression becomes a business and not a condition to be dealt with and treated and healed, we need a voice. When a country nearly declares war, civil war over health care, we need a voice. When people gather and declare that they want to take their country back and imply as if that some of us have no ownership or right to be here, we need a voice. Oh, y'all, when people are edgy and suicidal, frustrated and scared, plain old desperate, when society has lost its vibrancy, when society loses respect for humanity, we need a voice. When young people that were raised in our neighborhoods no longer have respect for authority, when our elders have to walk in the street and clear the sidewalk because our young people are walking down the street sagging and the girls got their dresses so high you can see breakfast, lunch, and dinner, we need a voice. when you've got to lock up your refrigerators and lock your doors in your own houses because you're afraid of the children you raised. We need a voice. When you can go to jail for chastising your own children. Needs to be a voice. When I read my Bible, God did not send the king to speak to the prophet, but God sent the prophet to speak to the king. The prophet may have wept like Jeremiah, may have fled like Jonah, may have had issues of depression like Elijah, may have been sinful like Isaiah, may have been a country boy like Amos, may have even been married to a whore like Hosea. The prophet still spoke what thus saith the Lord. Here we are, y'all, in the midst of all the action. Here we are in the midst of poverty and brokenness. Here we are in the midst of hopelessness and despair. Here in the midst of homelessness and unemployment. But it is here in the midst of all this that the people of God need a vision. People of God need something that to give direction for their lives. For the Bible says where there is no vision, the people will perish. You see, unlike people, God has not forgotten the plight of the downtrodden. God has not forgotten the outsider. God has not forgotten the addicted and the afflicted. God is concerned about the other brother, the other sister. He's concerned about the young thug who wears his pants halfway to the ground. He's concerned about the young girl who only feels valuable when she functions waist down instead of shoulders up. God is still concerned about that. And that's why this text is so important for us. Because, you see, we serve a God of possibilities. I say it again. We serve a God of possibilities. I didn't hear nothing. I'll say it one more time. We serve a God of possibilities. Yeah. Every time you come to Church Shiloh and look around and see a room full of good-looking people, well-dressed people, just remember God gave all of them another chance. Or look at your neighbor to the right and to the left and just thank God that he gave them another chance. Y'all, I wish I could say I always looked like this. I remember when I didn't look like this. I remember when I was rough, when I tore up from the floor up, but God gave me, y'all don't hear what I'm trying to say, he gave me another chance. Now that's why God visits a valley of dry bones. God visits disjointed bones and raises a possibility of bones living again. And that is what prophetic ministry does. Prophetic ministry speaks to that which is dead, dysfunctional, disjointed, and raises a possibility of a new existence. Oh yes, the prophetic ministry visits a place of pain, a place of injustice, a place of the poor, and offers hope. Ezekiel, whose name means God will strengthen, is a priest and a prophet. And he experiences visions from the Lord. In this sixth vision of Ezekiel, God shows him a valley that is full of bones. This valley didn't have just a little bit of bones in it, but the Bible said they were full of bones. And they were dry. These bones represented the nation of Israel that had been broken and separated and scattered throughout all the foreign lands. Their great sin was that of idolatry, which resulted in a 70-year Babylonian captivity. And not only were they taken to Babylon, but their sin caused them to be exiled throughout the then known world. The vision of this valley of dry bones depicted Israel as a broken, scattered, and exposed nation. It also spoke to the shame and judgment placed upon Israel because according to Jewish tradition, when someone dies, they were supposed to be washed, wrapped in linen, and entombed or buried properly. But instead, these bones were laid out in the open for their flesh to either rot off or be eaten off by vultures, buzzards, and other wildlife. It means that whatever happened was so catastrophic that it didn't have time to give them a proper burial. There were bones everywhere. They weren't just dry, but they were very dry. So dry until they looked as if they had been bleached. All the marrow, all the cartilage, all the muscle tissue, all the skin was gone. Nothing was left. These were dry. There was no life, no hope, no action, no movement, nothing, just dry. But I also believe these bones represent our neighborhoods. So this valley represents our neighborhood rampant with drugs and violence, crack houses, schools where education is not the primary focus. Valley of dysfunctional bones represent families that are dysfunctional, prisons that keep our brightest minds locked up, exiled from the mainstream of society, welfare systems that are just as addictive as drugs and alcohol, where people get hung up on the provision and never push towards the promise. Valleys represent gangs that devalue human life and live at the expense and pain of others. Our valleys are cities and towns plagued with corruption and injustice towards the poor and the needy. The bones are our children scattered here and there by the issues of life. They are out of control, looking for love in all the wrong places, trying to be grown before their time, wanting to fit in, engaging in all kinds of promiscuity, and literally throwing themselves to the dogs. Oh yes, many of our young people are doing quite well and making great decisions and becoming shakers and movers of society. But while they're doing well, their level of success has caused them to disown and abandon the very ones who gave them when they had nothing, prayed for them when they were nothing, and believed in them before they accomplished anything. They are successful, but they too are bones. They don't have time for Big Mama no more. They're bones. They're great in the eyes of society, but small in the eyes of those up close and personal. They're bones. They're bones. I tell my young people, when you go off and get a great college education and come back with your master's and doctorate, don't come home correcting grandmom's English. Now that you can read a little bit and went past phonics and understand English and all the punctuation, now you have a good hold on grammar and all that. Please don't come back correcting grandmom because she says sandwich and you know the word is sandwich. Oh, I remind them that before you had an education, Ebonics got you through some things. Y'all better help me here. Y'all, I remember being sick in my body. We didn't have HMO. We didn't have any health care. We couldn't go to a doctor. My mother was a country woman. She went out in the garden, got some onions and white potatoes and cut them in half and put them under my armpits and put them in the under the balls of my feet and put on some sweat socks and rub my body down with salve that she made. Y'all don't hear me. And then she took Vicks Vapor Rub and put it under my nose and under my chin, and then she stuck her finger in the jar. And if you read the label, it says, do not swallow. She said, open your mouth. She said, open your mouth. She put her finger in my mouth. She said, now swallow it. And after I swallowed that Vicks Vapor Rub, when the label said, do not swallow, then she laid her hands on me. She said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I want you to buke this fever. She said, buke the fever, Lord. Buke the fever. Now, I know the word is rebuke. But I'm so glad when I woke up in the morning, God buked the fever. Do I have a witness in the house? Now that you have a little bit of education, got a few degrees, you come back correcting everybody in the house. Go somewhere and sit down and thank God for grandmama that prayed your ignorant behind through college. You have an education because she stood in the gap on your behalf. Accomplished, but still bones. Still bones. Still bones. But the God who placed Ezekiel in the valley asked one question. Can these bones live again? And I believe, Pastor, that when the Lord sends us to churches, when he places us in a community, he wants to know if the prophet believes. Whether or not the prophet believes. Whether or not the seer can see life in dead situations. Everybody wants the big church. Everybody wants the big pulpit right away. Everybody wants the mega ministry right away. And nobody understands that oftentimes you are developed in obscurity. God is not interested, and I say it often, in developing leaders and preachers in a microwave. Instead, God develops you in a crock pot. Slow and over time. Because, see, when you're developed in a microwave, you might come out hot. But you're cool to the touch. Anybody ever eaten food that comes out of a microwave? It loses its heat instantly. But when you cook something in a crock pot, come on somebody. Or if you cook something in an oven on 150 degrees, you take that roast out of the freezer, and put it in that pan and put all your seasons on it and seal it with aluminum foil and stick it in the bottom of the oven and around 10 in the evening. And you let it cook slow all night. Around about 2:30 in the morning, the aroma would come tiptoeing through the house, tapping you, waking you up out of your sleep, letting you know that something's happening downstairs. And when you get up in the morning and pull that pan out with that beef in it, understand that you just put season on it. You didn't even put juice on it. But when you pull that pan out and pull back the aluminum foil, half the pan is filled with juice. And all you need is a fork to touch the beef and it falls apart. Because it was cooked, as the old folks says, through and through. That's what God wants. He wants leaders who have been developed through and through over time, because you've got to be able to be placed in obscure situations and still see life in the midst of death. He says, can these bones live? I just wonder, Pastor, I know you've had to see some things. When you look in the streets of Trenton, and you see children scattered and disjointed and disconnected from that which is right, you got to ask yourself, can these bones live? It's easy to acknowledge when something is dead, but the question is not on the table whether or not it's dead. The question is, do you think it can live? And it takes vision, and that's why we need pastoral leadership. It takes vision to look at dryness and see life. Oh, yes. It takes vision to look down a block and see a project called 2020. To see the ability to turn what could be wasted property into a place where people can be built up. Help, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. When people just want to drive by and get out the neighborhood quickly, it takes vision to go into a neighborhood and see hope. See God doing a new thing. First thing, he said, do you think they can live? And the prophet didn't try to be deep. He said, Lord, you know. Then the Lord gave him a directive. He said, I want you to speak to the bones and tell the bones to hear the word of the Lord. First thing bones need in order to live is a word. A word. They need a word. And I want to say, when people come to church, y'all, we need a word. That's why I like your pastor. I like preachers who don't mind preaching the word. I'm so sick of antics in the pulpit. I'm sick of gimmicks, and I'm tired of everybody trying to be a superstar. No, when people are going through hell and high water, they don't need celebrities in the pulpit. They need a word from the Lord. Do I have a witness in the house? Some of the stuff we're going through, y'all, we need a word. Quiet as it's kept, there's some folks right up here in Shiloh and in community, they're going through some things. Oh, yeah, there's some husbands looking at their wives and wives looking at their husbands. And they're sorry about the day they got married. Oh, y'all don't have to help me here. There's some children in families, and the families are dysfunctional families. Kids are growing up with a messed up psyches because they're trying to figure out what real, authentic love looks like. Oh, there are people who are coming to our church who are working on dead-end jobs. And every day they go to work and they're demeaned and disrespected. And they have to hold their peace because they need money to put food on the table and to keep the lights on and the gas on and need a roof over their head. There are people who are questioning their own self-worth. Oh, yeah, there are women who look in the mirror every day and don't like what they see because they haven't been validated over their lives. And there are men who are questioning their masculinity because they've been called boy and they've been treated less than a man. And yet they're coming to our churches not to get pimped by pulpit pimps and not to get tricked and not to get fleeced by drive-by prophets who only want you to sow $500 to their ministry. But they need somebody who won't ask for nothing, but will give them a word from the Lord. Well, y'all don't have to help me. But when I'm going through my drama, I need a word. When I'm going through my pain, I need a word. When I'm on the edge, don't push me, I need a word. When I'm this close to slapping somebody, you ever been that close? You ever been? I need a word. When I think about taking my switchblade to work, I need a word. When I think about some of the stuff I think about, I need a word. I need a word of instruction. I need a word of life. I need a word of hope. I need a word of deliverance. I need a word of direction. I need a word of correction. I need a word of instruction. I need a word of assurance. Oh, yes, when people are starving, they need a relevant word. They need a word that speaks to their present day situation. They need a rhema word, a right now word. It's good to talk about what God did way back then. But there's some people who need to know that he's still able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think today. Somebody say today. Oh, they need to know that he's a miracle worker today. They need to know he will provide today. They need to know that he'll take what the devil means for evil and turn it around and work it out for your good today. They need to know that there's life in the word today. Need to know that God can raise up their children today, bring their grandchildren back home today. Oh, when people hear a word, things will begin to change. When they hear a word, they'll get a little bit of faith, because faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of the Lord. When people hear a word that speaks to their core situations, they'll begin to rise up with a new attitude, because the word will renew their mind. The word will renew their thinking. The word will help them cleanse their way. The word will be a lamp to their feet and a light to their pathway. The word will drive out self-hatred. The word will build up self-esteem. The word will combat negative thinking. And the word will empower you to do all things through Christ that keeps on strengthening you. Oh, not only do we speak to the bones in the valley, but you got to remember there's some bones in high places. Oh, there's some bones in high places. It's difficult to speak to high places if we're depending on high places to sustain us. But you got to remember, the prophet Nathan had no problem going to David saying, "Thou art the man." I remember my dear mayor invited me to give the invocation. Senator Hillary Clinton was coming to Inglewood, and the mayor invited me to pray the invocation. The mayor was a Jewish mayor. And so he called me and said, "Reverend, we want you to do the invocation." And I said, "Oh, that's a great privilege. It's a great honor." He said, now I want to ask you, when you pray, do you mind not praying in the name of Jesus? And I said, yes, I do mind, and I will not be there. And I hung up the phone. A few days later, I got a call back from the mayor. He said, Pastor, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to offend you. And I said, well, you did. I said, if you invited a Buddhist to pray, a Buddhist is going to acknowledge Buddha. If you invite a Muslim to pray, they're going to acknowledge Allah, the most beneficent and benevolent. I said, you invited a Black Baptist preacher who was ordained to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to pray, and the only name I know to pray in is the name of Jesus. He said, well, Pastor, we do want you to pray, so you come on and pray. And I've been praying at everything in Inglewood since I've been there in the name of Jesus, because we are ordained not to back down, but we are ordained to take a stand and speak truth to power. I wish I had a witness. And most of the time when I pray for any political function, I always end my prayers with, God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, thou who has brought us thus far on the way, thou who has by thy might led us into the light, keep us forever in the path, we pray, lest our feet stray from the places of God where we met thee. Lest our heart intoxicated, drunk with the wine of success in the world, we forget thee. Shadowed beneath thy hand, may we forever stand true to our God, true to our native land. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Tell somebody we need a word. Not only do we need a word, but the second thing he said, speak words to the bones. Speak words to the bones. Then he said, after you speak to the bones, then speak to the winds. The winds are a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Because whenever you obey God's word, God will back you up with his presence. Yeah, he says, after you speak to the bones, then speak to the winds. When you speak to the winds will come forth. And when the winds came forth, they begin to breathe over these slain people. Notice when he spoke to the bones, when he said, hear the word of the Lord, God said, I will cause sinew to come on them, skin to cover them, and I will cause them to be completely whole, look like men again. And it's interesting, Pastor Armstrong, because the Lord said, speak to the bones. But the bones have no ears. And I'm always amazed that the Lord told the prophet to speak to something that can't hear. But this is what I've learned over these years of ministry. The blessing is in the obedience. That if the Lord tells you to speak to an inanimate object, God can give animation to an inanimate object simply because you were foolish enough to believe him and to obey him in the first place. Even though he preached to bones that could not hear, when he started declaring, hear the word of the Lord, skin started coming on the bones. Sinew started coming on the bones. The old black preachers used to say there was a rattling in the valley. And the toe bone connected to the foot bone. And y'all remember all that. I don't know about it. All I know is because he was obedient, skin covered the bones. But they were like dead men. So God says, now speak to the winds. Because not only do we need good looking people, we need spirit filled people. Help me somebody. I know this is a Baptist church, but we need some spirit filled folks in the Baptist church. We need some folks in the Baptist church that know the Lord. We need some folks in the Baptist church that have been filled with his spirit. We need some folks in the Baptist church that can testify God has breathed on me. Come on, come on. The Holy Spirit is for everybody. And when you speak to the winds, the Spirit of the Lord will begin to move in the atmosphere. And the dancers told us the Spirit of the Lord is here. Because I can feel him in the atmosphere. I just wonder, can anybody feel the presence of the Lord in the atmosphere? And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberation. Not just personal liberty, but liberation for everybody. I'm always blown away by that passage in Acts chapter 16, verse 25, that says, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly the jail began to shake from the foundations up. The doors swung open, and everybody's bands were loosed. You'll get it when you go home. At midnight, two people prayed. Somebody shout two. Just two people had a devotional service. Just two people decided to turn it into a praise party. But when two people prayed and sang, everybody heard them. And then when the jail began to shake, all the gates swung open and everybody's bands were loose. Two prayed, but when deliverance came, everybody got a blessing. Two prayed, but when the Lord showed up, he didn't just bless the two, but he blessed everybody that was in the house. That's why you can't worry about what she's doing and what they're doing. If two or three are gathered in his name, touching and agreeing, God will begin to move through the whole house. Do I have a witness in the house? Y'all, that's why you can't afford to sit there with your arms folded. That's why you can't afford to act like ain't nothing going on. It could be somebody on your row, on your pew, waiting on God to give a deliverance. And perhaps if you would just give God a little bit of praise, then a wind will start blowing in your section. Woo! Do I have a witness in the house? I said this morning, when the woman with the issue of blood heard that Jesus was passing by, she said, if I can just get close enough to touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole. She heard that he was passing by. He wasn't coming to her house. He wasn't even on her street. He was just in the area. But she didn't get an attitude because she'd been sick all this time. And ain't nobody came to see her. And now Jesus is close and he know everything, so he know where I live. And no, she didn't take that attitude. She said, if he's in the area, he's close enough for me to get a blessing. Can I get a witness in the house? It just could be that God's got a blessing for Anthony. And Anthony's sitting on the keyboard and the radar is pointed to Anthony. But if I'm close to Anthony, and if the Lord blesses Anthony, don't you know that I'm close enough to get a splatter? Tell somebody, I'm close enough to get a piece of the blessing. Help me, somebody. That's why we need the Spirit of the Lord to fall fresh on us, so that some bones in the valley begin to live again, and not only live but begin to stand up like a mighty army of people and begin to march to the tune of a new drum major. That's why God sent a Darrell Armstrong to shake up things at this church, to give some new vision and to give some new direction. Because as quiet as it's kept, there were some bones in the valley. But the God I serve looks at a valley of dry bones and still declares, you can live. Do I have a witness in the house? Do me a favor, touch two or three people and say, you can live. You can live. I don't care how long you've been dry. Don't care how long you've been dead. Don't care how long it's been over.
Don't care how long you've been thinking about divorce. Don't care how long your children been on drugs. Don't care how many bills you got piling up. Don't care what the doctor has said. It ain't over till God says it's over. Do I have a witness in the house? And the last time I checked, he was still able. I said he was still able. He was able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above everything I can ask and whatever I can think. Do I have a witness in the house? Is there anybody in this church that can trust the name of the Lord? Is he able, y'all? Won't God turn things around? Won't he breathe brand new life? Some of you are trying to die. You feel like you're old and you can't do nothing else. I come to tell you the devil is a liar. As long as there's breath in your body, you better get you some Bengay, get you some liniment, rub your body down and start talking to yourself and say, bones, in the name of Jesus, we got to get up and we got to do something. Do I have a witness? You may not run like you used to, but you ought to let somebody know that God's been good to you. If you can't raise your hand, raise your cane. If you can't raise your cane, take out your teeth. If you can't take out your teeth, lift up your wig. But let somebody know, I'm glad to be in the service. One more time. Do I have a witness, y'all? Keep on preaching a prophetic word and dry bones will live again. Do I have a witness? Tell somebody, you're gonna live. Oh, my brother, you're gonna live. Oh, my sister, don't give up the fight. Fight for your life. You shall live and not die. Say it. How do I know dry bones can live again? Just look around the room. Just look around. Look on the choir. Look in the pulpit. Some of us were dead in trespasses and in sins. No hope. I marvel when I think about where the Lord has brought me from. Pulled up in front of this church and saw cars all over the place. I said, how did this happen? These folk would come to hear me. Grew up on the other side of the railroad tracks. Greatest accomplishment in my household was
for me to graduate high school. There was no conversation of college. There was nobody sitting down with a 4-year, 8-year projection for my life. It was just graduate high school, get a job, do something. College was never on the table. And yet, the God I served, He visited the hood. That was my valley of bones. Came to the hood. Many of my buddies are cut down, shot down, killed, dead or in jail. He spoke life. Put people in my path to put me on the right path. Had no money for college, but it was in the days of Pell Grants. My mother could not fill out a financial aid form. She wasn't literate enough to read it. Had to do all that by myself. Had to fill out college applications and give it to them and say, just sign right here, Mom. Yet I seen the Lord's hand. Yeah. I thought a bachelor's was all I'd ever get. But the Lord said, no, you're a master's material. Mind you, I had a high school teacher to tell me I'd never make it through college. When I graduated with my bachelor's, I had the privilege of going back to the same school district and working side by side with that same teacher who told me I'd never go to college. Proved to her that she and the devil was a liar. While working there, a program was presented that if you do your master's, we'll pay for it. I said, Lord, you got to be looking out for a poor brother. God looks out for children and fools. And I wasn't no child. Went on working on a master's. Life was a mess. Then a church started looking my way. And I said, y'all got to be kidding. You don't know how jacked up I am. You don't know that I'm not ready. And the Lord kept pushing me. 24 years later. Hallelujah. Not only will I take you to school, not only will I pay for school so that I graduated with no outstanding debt. No loans to repay. How did you do it? Called work study. Musician, playing for churches. Cooking in kitchens, mopping floors. Whatever I had to do. Don't let this polish look fool you. I know how to pick up a rake. I know how to pick up a hoe. I know how to pick up a lawnmower. I know how to paint curves. I know how to paint traffic lights. I did it all. But now, it says I'm the president of the General Baptist Convention. Tell somebody, won't God do it? I speak life, you're gonna live. Oh, my brother, my sister, I speak life. You are the head and not the tail. You will prevail. I speak life. Don't give up the fight for your life. You shall live and not die.
Somebody put your hands together all over this house and give God a praise just for living. Sing it one time with us. Tell her, I speak life.
I speak life.
Look at somebody. Tell them, you're going to live. My sister, I speak life.
I speak life.
You,
you are the head and not the tail.
You will prevail.
I speak
life.
Don't give up the fight. Don't give up the fight for your life.
You shall live.
You shall live.
You shall live.
You shall live and not die.
This moment here, somebody may be on the edge of a decision. You may be wondering, is there life? Is there hope for me? I heard what the pastor said. Sounds good, but you don't know all my story. I'm here to tell you, everybody here has a story. You just don't know it. We've got the edited version, and then we've got the unedited version. The blessing is God read the unedited version, and he still spoke life over us. And that same God speaks life to you today. If you're in this room without life, if you're in this room without Christ, he's a Savior worth having. The Bible says he died for our sins, was buried in the grave according to the Scriptures, rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And John says, whoever believes on him, to him gives he power to become the sons of the Most High God. Today, no matter what your bones may look like, no matter how dry your situation is, we have a God who can speak life, who can resurrect dry bones, and give you a brand new beginning. Doors of the church are open. I invite somebody to come and choose life. Choose Christ. We're going to sing this again. And as we sing it, if you want to come, make your way. You don't have to walk alone. These deaconesses are filling these aisles. They'll come get you. They'll escort you forward. But today,
I speak life.
You're going to live.
You're going to live.
Yes.
Oh, my brother.
My sister.
My sister.
I speak
life.
You are the head.
You are the head and not the tail.
Yeah,
you will.
I speak life.
Don't give up the fight for your life.
You shall live.
You shall live and not die.
Oh, you shall live.
You shall live and not die.
You shall live.
You shall live.
You shall live. If you come to him, he'll set you free. Come to him, he'll make you see. Where there's no hope, he'll give you hope. Somebody, where there's sadness, he'll give you joy. He will pick you up and turn you around. Place your feet on solid ground. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus right now. God bless you. Hallelujah. If you come, if you
come to him.
Hallelujah.
He'll set you free.
Come to him.
Come to him.
He'll make you see.
Make you see.
Where there's no hope, he'll give you hope. Where there's sadness, he'll give
you joy.
He will
pick you up.
Turn you around.
Hey. Raise your feet up.
Solid ground. Oh, come to Jesus.
come to Jesus, oh, right now.